this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey everybody, Jason Wheeler back here with you for another episode of Y'allitics, which we're releasing early this week because, to be frank with you, the events are unfolding too fast. And, you know, if you record something 1 minute, it's like 2 minutes later, it's already old on the shelf. And so, obviously, we are talking about the big story in Texas still this week, redistricting, those congressional maps that have come out. And boy, it has certainly moved quickly in the days that have followed the release of that map. Now, Jason Whiteley's not with us once again this week. Usually I give him a hard time about that, but it makes sense this time. So Whiteley was sent out of state so that he could track down some of these Democratic lawmakers who have left Texas. They did that, dozens of them, got together, left the House of Representatives so that they would leave the State House of Representatives in Austin without enough members to be able to conduct business. And if they don't have enough members to conduct business, they can't take a vote on those redistricting maps. And in case you haven't paid real close attention to this, that new map was asked for by President Trump. This wasn't something where, you know, Republican lawmakers here in Texas said, oh gosh, you know, we need to do a redraw of these maps because this is wrong or that is wrong. They just did these back in 2021. But what happened is the Republicans have a very slim majority of about three members there in Congress in Washington, D.C. Well, midterm elections are coming up next year. Those are the off-year elections when you don't have president on the ballot, but you have all these congressional members. And usually that doesn't go so well for the party that is in power and holds all the power in D.C., and that happens to be Republicans this time around. And so they're thinking, well, you know, maybe we can pick up some more members. And so the president came out, he asked the governor here in Texas, hey, redraw those maps again, because we think, we've looked at it, we think you can squeeze out some of those Democrats who are currently in office and turn those into reliable Republican districts, and we can pick up five more seats there. And so that's what they're trying to do here. They've unveiled that map. Democrats have gotten out of here so that they can try to at least hold off having any discussions about those maps. And so we're at this stalemate right now with a lot of threats being thrown around about, you know, sending the FBI after them and, you know, taking them to court here in Texas and threatening to bring them back and escorting them into the legislature where the doors would be locked until they get this figured out and voted on. So we start this week with Jason Whiteley, who has been there in the Chicago area talking with a lot of these Democratic lawmakers, because despite the threats back here at home in Texas, they are determined and really have a lot of steel in their spine to drag this out and throw a wrench into this process, because really this is the only power they have. They can't stop things in the legislature. They don't have the numbers to do so, but they do have the numbers to pull out of the legislature and keep the legislature from working correctly. And so Jason has been speaking with some of these Democratic lawmakers, and we want you to listen to some of the things that they've been saying in the past couple of days.
This is not normal to redistrict. We're not supposed to do this midway through the game. Everybody resets the playing board at the beginning of every decade, and then you play fair games. Republicans decided last year they didn't like the way things were going, so they took four seats out of North Carolina. And now they don't like the way things are going, and so they want to take five seats out of Texas. You don't get to change the field halfway through the game, and that's what they're doing.
We have to think about this in Cold War eras, right? And it's like the Republicans have been launching nukes and we've not been responding at all. So what happens if we don't respond? They just launch more. At some point, in order for this to stop, people have to be willing to say, if you launch one nuke, we launch all of ours, right? And we don't want to go to war, but war has come to us.
This is politicians choosing their constituents rather than voters choosing their elected officials. And when you put it in those terms, that makes people really, really mad. Voters want to be able to choose their elected officials, not the other way around.
Look, the Texas congressional map is already heavily gerrymandered. Republicans have far more representation in Congress from Texas than they should, based on those statewide elections you mentioned. I would argue that the existing congressional map is already racially gerrymandered as well. But what they're trying to do is take it to a whole nother level and whittle away what little representation we have in Congress in minority neighborhoods across Texas.
We have to make people understand this just isn't Texas, right? This is Donald Trump trying to rig the national midterm elections by doing mid-decade redistricting. And if it happens in Texas, it's coming to a state near you.
Let's do an independent commission to redraw the lines, give the voters the opportunity to draw our districts. Because I don't know a single voter that likes the idea that their politicians are picking them as opposed to them picking their elected officials. So let's let the voters redraw the lines.
Let's get some perspective on all of this now with one of my favorite people who covers these things. I always get smarter when we talk to Abby Livingston. She is a reporter based in Washington, D.C., covers politics for Puck News, and she's always plugged into what's going on. Abby, I think I've built you up really big there. I hope I haven't jinxed you. You follow this stuff very closely, and you're seeing it now from the perspective of what's happening in D.C. and what people, you know, there around the Capitol are saying about all of this. We've heard so much happen in just a week's time with this, less than a week's time as we are recording here on a Thursday afternoon. What is standing out to you at this point after the Democrats left Texas, a lot of them left Texas to hold up this redistricting bill in Austin?
What has astonished me about this story is that I lived through the 2003 fleeing of the Democrats for redistricting, and I was in Washington for the 2021 state Dems fleeing there over voting rights. And this is very different from a national perspective, even though I feel like a lot of the Texans I speak to are sort of operating in a universe where they think it's the same old story. This Texas redistricting was just a starting fire shot of a drama no one saw coming and is now engulfing American politics all over the country. And so, for instance, the California Democratic retaliation of this will involve them having a statewide election where they have to unwind their anti-gerrymandering laws. And that could be $100 million of campaign spending before they even begin drawing maps. Mm-hmm. So the scale of this cannot be understated.
Hmm. Talk a little bit about that whole California thing, because we've seen just in recent days that Gavin Newsom, the governor there in California, has really been pushing this idea that, hey, okay, are you sure you want to do this, Texas? Because if you do it in Texas as Republicans, we are going to do this as Democrats in California, and we can essentially, we think, balance out whatever you're doing to redraw districts in Republicans' favor.
This has been the factor that I don't think a lot of folks saw coming, is how unanimously Democrats are on the side of, we're going to do the same thing. Typically, Democrats have advocated for taking redistricting out of the power of the state legislators, and they've tried to walk the walk. And now what they're saying is they still support that, but they are going to fight over this in the redistricting, and they are going to have no qualms about engaging. And I think that's been fascinating, is that Gavin Newsom is not an outlier in this. This is a carte blanche across the party, institutionalists, rebels, et cetera. They all want to have an aggressive response to the Republicans.
And Abby, are you getting the sense that people in the know, people who are watching this from D.C., the parties, do they really sense here that we are going to see this sort of escalation, as some people have called it, this arms race of redistricting in different states across the country after if Texas goes forward with this?
Absolutely. I mean, the maps are already going around, but it means that some other states, Democratic-controlled states, and possibly some Republicans, too, as this sort of escalates, could encounter the same problem that maybe the Texas map might have in a cycle or two, where some incumbents start getting threatened because they've spread their voters too thin. Mm. Only time will tell, whether it's Texas or elsewhere. What I will also say is it has felt like at times, as this drama has played out, that it has ricocheted more intensely nationally than in Texas. Sometimes when I talk to normal Texans, they don't really grasp how revved up people are about this.
Mm. You know, that's an interesting point too, because I've had people just in my own life, because of what I do for a living, who've said, Okay, yeah, I heard something about redistricting. Can you tell me, like, what is that? What's the big deal about it in like 1 minute? You know, they want you to boil it all down for them. That's odd that people in Texas, where this has been happening, maybe some of them haven't been paying as close attention as people in other states across the country who are looking at it from the outside. Even though this will have profound impacts on some Texas voters, for sure. I mean, the more safe seats that you draw, the less that a voter's voice is even matters in that seat, except in the primary.
Well, I think it's important to remember just how complex redistricting is, and it's only happened once in a decade. And it is part of the census and the shifting of when states gain population and lose population, how we move those around. And the map drawing is incidental, but the map drawing has become the most politically powerful tool in the House of Representatives. And I can just assure you, there is no other element in a member of Congress, a member's life in the House like redistricting. It is so personal. It is so, it just, the word redistricting is frightening. And at the end of each decade, they start getting concerned and start to make sure they have friends in the state legislature who will look out for them. And adding this element mid-decade probably means that there will be, if this is a successful effort for one side or the other, there will be perpetual redistricting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you take that to an extreme and, you know, it starts with, does power flip in a state and a party consolidates the governor, Senate, and House, and then they can redraw the maps mid-decade. But there are unintended consequences to this. A state legislator might decide they want to be in Congress and suddenly draw a district that no longer fits an incumbent but fits them and they're in the same party. Or maybe the member of Congress got on the wrong side of a legislator and they just decide to give them a terrible district just for kicks. And I'm not saying that's happened, but that's where we're headed. And it is possibly a poison that I think is going to hurt both parties, politicians everywhere, if this is brought in more than once a decade.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that, you know, I as a constituent, you know, maybe I develop a relationship with my representative. I depend on services and that's my person. That's my touch point to be able to access federal services or to make my voice be heard. What if I'm being switched around from district to district multiple times in a decade?
Well, I grew up in Fort Worth, and that happened to me a lot as a kid. Sometimes Kay Granger was my congresswoman, and sometimes it was Joe Barton, and they're both no longer in Congress. But it is disorienting. And if you're, you know, your member of Congress is who you go to if your Social Security check is not coming in, or a veteran's benefit, and there are people who work there and who for the member. And when the member changes, you may have to establish a new relationship. And it's, I think for voters, it's a hassle. And it's probably frustrating, especially if you do like your member. But then there might be other Texans who would prefer to have the new member. So it can go either way. But it is a really, really contentious thing to throw into politics. And Texas is already pretty contentious as it is.
Yeah, to say the least. This goes both ways, too, though, for the member, for the congressperson. You know, they get to know a community. They know the issues there. They know the place like the back of their hand. They know, you know, what matters, what doesn't, who the big employers are, you know, whether unemployment is a problem, homelessness, et cetera. And then you blow up a district and they start all over, you know, and it might be a sprawling district that goes way out into nowhere. And now they've got to cover this whole territory that they're not even familiar with.
Indeed, the West Texas Republican-held seat that's sort of centered in Midland used to go into Austin, and then in 2021 they pulled it out of Austin, and now it's back in the edges of Austin again. So it's, we're repeating history, but it is especially in a state as big as Texas, this sort of thing can be extremely exhausting for an incumbent, and it is a whole lot of pressure to learn a lot of new things. And maybe your positions in the old district don't quite fit the new one, whether it's ideology or it's your stance on a company and whether what the role of the federal government should be for that company. And so it is very tricky. And the other thing that can happen in Texas is, you know, all these Republican incumbents seem to be safe by the numbers in the general election, but they may have a whole new constituency of Republican voters who they have to reach out to, and they might be vulnerable in that direction. And so I can't say that I detect a lot of enthusiasm among Texas Republicans about this map, but they know what the president wants and they're going to deliver.
I want to ask you this, Abby. You know, we've heard so many, you know, threats back and forth. We've heard a lot of rhetoric, a lot of posturing on both sides of this. You know, when you get to it at the end of the day, though, you know, a lot of that, as I said, is posturing. Now we're hearing this notion that, you know, maybe there should be another census taken, which you don't usually see in the middle of a decade, and that it should specifically look to carve out people who are non-citizens. Of course, the census counts everybody. Have you been hearing anything about that in D.C.? Has that been percolating there? It has a little bit here.
It's gotten a little bit of an eye roll. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has been pushing that. I've not, if it has occurred in American history, I am not aware of. This is, mm-hmm. I think, and I'm not a lawyer, but I think we're getting into very serious, explicit constitutional issues. Mm-hmm. And it was just worth pointing out, this is counting the American public, and the president of the United States basically fired the person at the Bureau of Labor Statistics over the unemployment numbers. And so if there is a census during this presidency, I think it's should be assumed that the numbers are going, there are going to be doubts raised about the numbers either direction.
Mm-hmm. People feel very strongly about this, of course, on both sides of the issue. I'm just curious how it sits with folks there in D.C., especially among the elected class, when they start to see that, you know, we've had even bomb threats made at a hotel where some of the Democrats had gone to in Chicago. I mean, this really has spiraled in a way that we haven't seen in past times when Democrats have left the state. It really seems like it's escalated beyond what we've seen before.
I think the main thing to keep in mind is that the president of the United States is encouraging this. And when that happens, of course, it's going to escalate. And so, you know, this is, I don't know what figure in American politics can settle this dispute down. And it's just going to continue to spiral. The only way I see this panning out to a long-term stalemate is, what if they redraw all these maps all over the country and a handful of members of Congress on both parties lose their seats, sort of in the shrapnel of redrawing. And it ends up like one party only picks up one or two seats, and they step back and they say, well, we went to all that effort, all those members lost just for a one or two seat gain. So I could see this in hindsight look like a fad, which we sometimes have in politics, but I think that's less likely than the gloves are off and redistricting is going to become a part of daily political life.
The phrase of the week is now the shrapnel of redrawing. I had not heard that one. It's very well stated there. Abby, a couple more things here. So we've heard, you know, maybe the FBI is going to get involved here and bring these Democratic lawmakers back to Texas and escort them back into the Capitol, even though they're not charged with crimes. These are civil warrants to bring them back to the Capitol. So I don't know how the FBI intervenes when a crime has not been alleged or committed. And then, you know, we're hearing, you know, about going to the Texas Supreme Court, the governor, to get one of these members removed from his seat over this. Is that something that people in D.C. are paying attention to? Are you hearing from people who are paying attention to that? Or is that just considered some of the noise around what's going on here and perhaps posturing?
I think this is the most important part of the whole debate. And I think it's escalating toward that way. The way statewide leaders are talking, that, you know, it sounds like you can't send Texas state troopers to Illinois and bring these folks back. And, but I don't think it was coincidental that the Democrats ended up in states with Democratic governors. I think that was a very conscious thought. And I think the central question I have, and a lot of the people I speak with regularly, is what are the courts and the public's reactions going to be if we see Democrats with zip ties being led into the Capitol? And I am very agnostic on that. I don't really know how things play in American politics. I'm not so good at predicting things anymore. But that is a very serious image that is coming out of the state of Texas. And I think a lot of times these Democrats flee the state dramas. There's a frenzy when they leave. It's very exciting. And then it sets into a routine and the novelty wears off and the world kind of forgets this is even happening. If something like this happens, I think it's going to be remembered for a very long time.
And this has blown up really fast, too. And I brought this up in the very beginning, and I may be totally wrong. I'm like you. I'm not really good at predicting anything. But in speaking with Democrats before they left Texas, the tone sounded different. As you mentioned, there have been, you know, times before when they've left the state. The tone sounded different this time. And I thought, are they planning on a more extended time away? Now, obviously, they just have to wait out this special session, which has only got, you know, a matter of days left in it. But do they do it again if the governor calls another special session? And do we see a much higher escalation of that kind of rhetoric that you're talking about and sort of going into uncharted territory with the things that we're saying and thinking of doing to bring lawmakers back if this happens into another special session?
I think the main thing I would suggest is that right now it seems as if the Texas Democrats' objective is to buy time before a Texas map can be passed for California to get its ducks in a row to, you know, show just how severe the threat will be if Texas does this. I have no reason to believe that will make the Texans back down. And so I think that this is something that's not going away. Most political dramas that I've covered, you sort of know how they're going to end. It's just you have to let the game play out. Mm-hmm. I don't know where this is going to end, and I don't know anyone else who knows how this is going to end.
I've had the same thought. I feel smarter now because you're feeling the same way. I've had the same thought.
Particularly when I speak to folks who are outside, you know, are not as familiar with Texas as we are, you know, they'll roll their eyes and make assumptions. And I will be the first to say, this is as unstable of an environment as I've ever seen in Texas. It is as unpredictable. And I am going to be the first to plead ignorance because there's just so many different pieces of this moving and we don't know how they're all going to pan out.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you this. I think even the major players in this on the Republican side and the Democratic side don't even really fully know how this is going to play out. I don't think that we're alone sitting and observing this, not really able to figure out where this goes. Abby, the last thing before I let you go, just because, again, you're so on top of this stuff and you have such a history with, you know, observing the things that happen in Texas and reporting on them. What are you watching for as we go through the days and perhaps weeks, who knows, months ahead? What are you watching for as this continues to unfold? Is there one particular area where you're like, got to keep an eye on that for sure?
Here's the thing I'm watching for. Democrats seem to be pretty moribund in Texas. It seemed very lethargic and exhausted before the redistricting plan was unfolded. I asked a Texas Democrat a couple weeks ago, could we see a rally or some kind of protest at the Capitol that would be as loud as some of the ones we saw, like the Wendy Davis filibuster? And this person said a few weeks ago, probably not, because of the Texas heat. And also it's back to school time. And so if we see massive outdoor rallies in the middle of the day in Austin in August, I think that's a real sign of Democratic enthusiasm. Now, that doesn't mean the state is going to flip, but it's signs of life of the Democratic Party. If we don't, then maybe this isn't that big of a deal, or we may see I think the other metric to watch is fundraising. How does the Texas Democratic Party come out of this? They've struggled in fundraising. How do campaigns, candidates, and do we see a national investment in the Democratic Party, whether it's from individual donors or organized national groups? I think that's the main thing I would be watching for.
Okay, so we're going to be looking at those campaign coffers, and we're going to keep a close eye on that brutally hot area right around the Capitol. Thankfully, they've got those shade trees out there, but we'll see if those protests do arise. I've wondered the same thing, if we might hear from regular people. So far, this has been sort of politician versus politician on this, and you haven't seen a lot of that regular people turn out here in Texas, at least not yet anyway, but as Abby says, let's keep an eye on it. Abby, thanks as always for fitting us in. I know that you're running around there on Capitol Hill covering a million things that we don't even know about yet. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Okay, so Abby always kind of gives great perspective to everything there. We've already heard from Democrats who left the state to prevent this redistricting map from being voted on here in Texas. And now it's time to hear from a Republican. And you think, if you haven't been following this super closely, you think, well, I think I know how Republicans feel and think about these redistricting efforts in Texas. They love it. They want more of it. They want to, increase their numbers in the U.S. House of Representatives. Not so. There's one, and actually more than one, but one in particular who has said that he's ready to file the bill here and see to it that this can't be done. Not only in Texas, but in places like California and Indiana, Ohio, all these other states that you've been hearing about possibly doing this, as well as New York and some others. His name is Kevin Kiley. He's in the 3rd congressional district in California. He is a Republican, and he is saying not so fast to his own party and to the opposing party that we need to stop this. This isn't the way to do things. We don't want to be doing these mid-decade redistricting efforts just so solely so that we can pad our numbers in the next midterm election. So Jason Whiteley caught up with Representative Kevin Kiley, and here's some of what he had to say.
Congressman, welcome to the program here. You condemned California Governor Gavin Newsom for wanting to redistrict mid-decade there in your state to abolish the independent commission that, your state has set up. You called it a threat to democracy, but this whole thing started in Texas with the Republican governor there wanting to redistrict mid-decade. Is the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, is he too a threat to democracy, you think?
Well, I've been very clear that I don't like what's happening in Texas either. Naturally, I'm more concerned about my own state of California. And it is true that what's happening in California is much worse than what's happening anywhere else, because in our state, we actually have an independent citizens redistricting commission that was established by the voters. I think that is what I mean by a threat to democracy, because the governor is explicitly violating the will of the voters.
You said you wanted to get to a system where gerrymandering doesn't exist anymore. I think a lot of people would probably like that as well, too. But gerrymandering, as you know, has been around for more than 200 years. What would it ever take to get to that point where the country moves on beyond that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, one idea I have is that we have a couple of issues with elections where there's actually quite a bit of public support in one direction. So the public doesn't like gerrymandering. I think there's widespread public support for ending gerrymandering and having a fair drawing of district lines. And then there's this issue of voter ID. There's broad public support for requiring voter ID in every state in elections. And so one of those has been more of a priority for Republicans. One of them is more of a priority for Democrats. I think that there may be a deal that can be reached. And I've been having some conversations with people on both sides of the aisle about it. By at least the time we do this again in the next regularly scheduled redistricting, why don't we change those two things so that we get rid of gerrymandering, we have voter ID, and we could have a lot fairer elections going forward.
Congressman, we wish you luck. Thanks for the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And with that, what a week. We're releasing this early once again because we have no idea what the next day and the next day brings. As we've recorded this on Thursday afternoon, though, this is where we are, although we've heard some rumblings about some potential developments on Friday. No doubt about that. There will probably be some on Saturday and Sunday and every day the week after that. So we're going to keep on following this, though. As Abby said, no one knows where this is going to lead. And I think she was correct in saying that things feel about as unsettled and unstable in Texas politics right now as any of us can remember. This is different than what we have been accustomed to, even with some bitter fights that have happened here in Texas between the parties. This is different level. So we'll keep on following it. Thanks, as always, for watching and listening to Yolitics. Please subscribe so that you make sure that you get every episode as it drops. For instance, this one, which has been dropped early, and you would have gotten it early if you are subscribed. Thanks again, and we'll do it all again next week.